this evening. Just some quick prayer requests before we do get going. Miss Donna will not be with her with us this evening because I guess she texted me about an hour ago, 2 hours ago. I guess Lydia, she had to go pick her up from school. Lydia's not feeling well at all, so keep a little girl in prayer. I think she's got a stomach ache and sore throat. I'm not sure if she was throwing out her mouth, but she wasn't feeling good. So Miss Donna had to go get her, so that's why she's not here this evening. And then there's others in our church that are still battling these sicknesses. It's just the conquerings are still, I guess they're feeling fine, but they just got this cough they can't get rid of. And so it's affecting her even being able to sit down because she's coughing so much. And so keep the conquerings in prayer. I know June was with us Sunday morning, but he's still fighting. He's been fighting it for 2 months now. But Craig fighting.
Marge has really bad fatigue.
It's Marge, too. So just, yeah, just keep these individuals in prayer. God just help to help them recover, get better, and be back together again as a whole church. Amen. Let's go ahead and put the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, dear God. Thank you for your mercy, grace, and your goodness, Lord. Just the opportunity to be together this evening. And Lord, just pray just be with us. Lord, I pray meet with us. I pray give us what we need. And Lord, that we just draw closer to you these last days. Father, help us just to stay faithful. God, help us just to stay faithful, Lord. Lord, I believe that's what you require, Lord, that we just be faithful to you until you call us. Lord, we'll give you glory and honor and praise and everything that's said and done this evening. We'll pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right, it's good to see everyone tonight. Thankful to be in church. No better place to be on a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
I don't know how you feel about it, but people in the world are a lot of places tonight, and there's not one of them that's better than being in church here on Wednesday night. I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful to be in church around my brothers and sisters and get to hear some preaching. And a lot of people say that they have to go to church, but we get to go to church.
Yes.
I'm thankful for it. Now, if you would, I'm going to ask you to please stand if you're able and turn with me to page 363, and we're going to sing Since I Have Been Redeemed. Page 363.
Since I have been redeemed.
Greetings, how I love to proclaim it. Greeting by the blood of the Lamb. Greeting through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed. His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is a theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I know I shall sing in His beauty, the King in whose law I delight. Songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Dean, this evening, I want to read this missionary prayer letter to a brother in Christ that friends with, known for quite a number of years, Brother Kessler, and he's a missionary in Bulgaria. And he says here, the first week of December, I've had the privilege to be in Bansko, a city in the southwest part of the country. We were harassed by the local Orthodox priest. He evidently sent out three big guys to scare us and hinder the endeavor to spread the gospel of Christ Jesus to the residents. It comes with the territory, 2 Timothy 3:12, but it didn't work. Thank the Lord we still managed to get the word out there. Along with that city, we were in 15 villages that week. Total books given out in December to the present, 1,922, are 3,952 in one city and 36 villages. That's three families and a few of the youth hitting the streets every week unless it's raining. Praise the Lord to be a part of this work. December 10th through the 20th, our son Joshua was here visiting with his girlfriend Emma Jensen and her parents. We had a great time getting to know each other. We look forward to seeing what the future holds for them. On December 22nd, 2021, we closed on the church property. It's paid in full, and we have the property deed. The water and electric have been transferred to the church as well. I'm hoping to get the plans out this week and prepare whatever else is needed to be able to consult with an architect and press forward. I want to thank all of you that support us faithfully and took it upon yourselves to send extra love offerings during the holiday season. Also, another $7,300 was sent for the renovation of the church in Karamba in December of 2021. That gives us about $28,000 to work with at the moment. I will keep you posted, of course, on the building project. Please pray for us and have wisdom with the renovation process. Sabin at our church in Karamba recently did a creation versus evolution presentation at his public school. Sounds like his peers were impressed beyond words. Pray he will be able to convince and persuade them to trust Christ Jesus as their Savior. God bless you all. Until the next time, Brother Danny Kessler. So keep him in prayer. Also keep Brother Alan McFall in prayer. There's a lot going on over there in Europe with Russia and Ukraine. And I got a message from Brother McFall. I think it was Tuesday morning. They lost all electricity there in the orphanage in Kyrgyzstan. And so he was praying about that because that could be a kind of issue over there at this time of year. And thankfully it was turned back on, but he found out that Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, and Kyrgyzstan all share and take part in the same electrical grid. So now Kyrgyzstan is providing its own electricity to its country. Well, last week, or I think it was last week, or it might have been this week, maybe it was last week, they had those protests there in Kyrgyzstan. I don't know if anybody saw that. Because the president kept, the president stayed in, was kept in, is basically a dictator. And so they started doing protests. Well, Putin sent some Russian soldiers in there, and they just started shooting protesters, which ended the protests pretty quickly. So they got their man in there now. So there's a lot going on in the world, not to be dismayed or down, but to keep our eyes towards the heavens.
Amen.
And wait for the redemption by the Lord Jesus Christ. So just keep Brother Allen in fall in prayer in the orphanage and the kids over there. God bless them. God help them to just stay faithful to the work. Brother Kessler also over that area in Bulgaria. So just keep both of them in prayer. I appreciate it.
All right. Final song tonight. If you would, turn with me to page 333. If you're willing and able, I ask you to please stand and sing with me. Page 333. It's just like His great love. Page 333.
A friend I have called Jesus, whose love is strong and true, and never fails, however distraught, no matter what I do. I sinned against this love of His, but when I knelt to pray, confessing all my guilt to the sin clouds rolled away. It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like His great love. Sometimes the clouds of trouble bedim the sky. Beholding my despair, in pity bursts a cloud between, and shows me He is there. It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. Just like His great love. When sorrow's clouds o'ertake me and break upon my head, when life seems worse and useless and I were better dead, I take my grief to Jesus then, nor do I go in vain. Like sunshine after rain. It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like His great love. Oh, I could sing forever of Jesus' love. Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus.
Amen. No, I said it earlier, and I kind of. Needs to be ready. Okay? I believe that. I believe if you're playing instruments, if you're singing, or you just always have to be prepared. That's just my take on it as a preacher, pastor. I just think that as Christians, you just have to be ready for whatever the Lord may call you to do in a moment. Because my personal belief is if the Lord's calling you to do it, then He's going to give you the ability to do so. You know, you look at Moses, and God was trying to call Moses out. Moses said, "No, Lord, I can't go. I can't talk." And God's like, "I want you to go." "No, God, I can't go." Moses, God wouldn't be calling you unless you could do it, Moses. And so I thank you, Ellie, for doing that. But I try to teach my daughter and even my son, listen, if you got to be ready. And if you mess up doing it, then you mess up doing it. I know the Bible says you got to play skillfully. I understand it. I get that. But there's also going to be times where you're going to make mistakes and things aren't going to be perfect either. But you have to press forward through it. And I think that's one of the learning lessons in life is when you mess up, you've got to keep on going through. You can't have a little pity party. Well, because you know what ultimately it is, brethren? It's pride. It comes back to pride. Well, people might laugh at me. That's pride. You're thinking of you. You're thinking of you and not the Lord. That's pride. You know, we do everything as Christians. We ought to. Everybody sitting in this room, it's not just a pastor, piano player, song leader, whoever is doing something. We all represent and are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And it's not about us. No matter what we do, it's not about us. It's always, it should always be about Him. Appreciate what you said. I don't come to church because I have to. I come to church because I want to. And it's a privilege. It is a privilege to come to church. It's a privilege to be saved. It's an honor to be here. It's not, I don't look to go to church since I've been saved. It isn't like, I got to go to church tonight. No, look, brethren, understand me now. Now, I understand jobs and situations. I was a state trooper for a number of years, so sometimes I couldn't be in church. And I know others in here have situations like that to where sometimes a job conflict. I understand that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, though, everything else should revolve around being in church. Not church revolve around everything you got going on. Church should be the first priority. Not family. Not church. You know why? You know why I say that? Brethren, this is my family. You are my family. I said that back home. That's one of the first things I noticed when I walked in that little white church that was almost dilapidated. The floor was uneven when you walked into the church. I'm not joking. I'm being serious. I walked in there. I'm like, this is a church? But I ain't never, I'm not talking charismatic here. I'm not going off. But I'm telling you, there was something different as soon as I walked through those doors. I was like, what is this new thing that I'm seeing? Because it was family. It was family. And you knew it as soon as you walked in, like there's something different here than anywhere else I've ever been. And that's what it needs to be here. It needs to be. It's not, brethren, this can be a hindrance to any church. It's not a matter of just coming to church, we greet one another, we see how we're going, and then we go our ways the rest of the week and we don't contact one another. It ought not to be that way. It ought to be a family. It ought to be. That's my desire as a pastor, for it to be that way, that it's just not a matter of just church, it's a matter even outside of church, because that's how a family is. And brother, the family of God is closer than blood. Look, you and I are closer than if we were real brothers. You understand? If we got Christ Jesus, that's closer than blood relations. That's my opinion on it. The physical... yeah, spiritual higher. Okay? And so, I went on that little thing there, but I thank you, Ellie, for trying to play through there. I appreciate that. It's a blessing. And I think it's important. I think it's really, really important. Tonight, I can't get off of this theme that we've been on the last couple of weeks. The Lord just won't leave me alone on it. This matter of the mind, of thoughts coming in our mind, and how important it is for us to guard what comes in our mind and our thought processes, and so that it doesn't distract us from following the Lord Jesus Christ like we ought to. Okay? This individual, and I make,
For those that didn't get or wanted copies of what I had written before, I erased what I wrote, but I have it printed out. I just forgot to bring it. So if you'd like a copy of what I had written on there, Lord willing, I will have it Sunday. It slipped my mind when I ran home from here this afternoon. But this is not Bible, but I think it's good because it was said by a preacher. And some of you won't be able to read it, but I think it's really good. There's different versions of it out there, but this is from 1855. The original thought came in the beginning of the 1800s. But in 1855, Bishop Beckwith, I believe that's how you say his name, he said, plant a thought and reap a word. Plant a thought, reap a word. Plant a word and reap an action. Reap an action or plant an action and you reap a habit. Plant a habit and you reap character. Plant character, and you start reaping a destiny, and I wrote down a generation. So if you can get a generation to start thinking some way, a thought, just put it in there, put it in there, put the thought in there, put the thought in there, eventually start coming out through words, and the words will start to become actions. The actions will start becoming habit. This is the point where, I used to talk about this in the juvenile detention center because Frank Outlaw, he was the original founder, I believe, of Bilo Supermarkets. You see more of them down south. It's kind of the sister supermarket of Giant, which we have up here. I believe so. I believe they're kind of the same. But he said, he talked about these same types of things that you start with a thought, then you get the words start becoming actions, the actions start becoming a habit. And I used to tell the boys in the juvenile, I said, listen, to me the danger zone is when it starts to get right here. When it starts to get to being a habit, you're in a dangerous spot. Because once it crosses over from habit into character, you're going to have a hard time changing that thing. Okay? Because once I can get you with a habit, then I can start affecting your character, which eventually start affecting your destiny. Now, take your Bible this evening, and you'll see where I'm going with this. And I think the devil desires to get into our thought life. The devil desires to get into our thought life, to get us thinking on things outside of our precious Savior. Last week we talked about the affairs of this life and how we're a soldier and how we're not to get entangled with what this life brings forth and as far as what's out there in the world. And we looked in Colossians 3 talking about if any man be or set your affections on things above and not on things on this earth. You know, we're spiritual. God wants us to have a spiritual walk, not just be living in a physical world, which we do live in. He wants us, though, to go further and do everything we do through a spiritual lens, if that makes sense. Take your Bible, look at Ephesians chapter 6 this evening. Ephesians chapter 6. Hold your hand there in Ephesians 6, and then flip over once you're in Ephesians 6 to 1 Peter chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 6, and I want to couple this together with what we looked at, 1 Peter chapter 1 last week. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 13. So you got Ephesians 6, you got that, and then 1 Peter chapter 1. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 13, we'll read that first. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 13. He tells the brethren, he says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Okay? He says, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He goes on to say in verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversations, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this opportunity. Lord, you just give wisdom and guidance and direction now, Lord. Pray, clear my thoughts, Father. Help me just to be obedient this evening, dear God, to what you once said. And Lord, help us, dear God, through these lessons, dear God, and Bible study, that we would draw closer to you, Lord. Help us to stay faithful. And we'll give you the glory and honor and praise for it. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Peter says here, he says, gird up the loins of your mind. And he says, I also want you to be sober. He says, I don't want you to fashion yourselves like you used to according to your former lusts in your ignorance. Okay? Now, As we go on to our study next week, Lord willing, we're going to find out that those individuals in chapter 3 of 2 Peter, they were willfully ignorant. They were willfully ignorant. Here Peter says, I don't want you to stay in your ignorance in the fact that you're still fashioning yourselves in your former lusts, the way you used to do it. Brethren, once you get saved, your whole outlook on life should change. It changed for me. When I got saved, it's like my whole world got turned upside down and my thinking got completely changed to what it was 2 hours before I was saved. My focus now is on the Lord Jesus Christ. How can I please my Savior? What is His will for my life? And help me, Lord, to stay in that will. Okay? And Peter here warns the individuals there that he's writing to. He says, gird up the loins of your mind. And I said it last week. When you're getting ready to do work and you're wearing pants, you pull it up like you're getting ready to work. You're getting ready to do something. You pull up your pants. You pull up whatever you're wearing. You pull it up because you're getting ready to do something. And it's the same thing. Like when you wake up every morning, you got to gird up the loins of your mind, because the enemy and his tactics is to get something in your head. Just as we're to sow seed, I believe the devil daily is trying to sow seed. He's just casting. He's not taking time, maybe he is sometimes, of digging and trying to plant a specific seed. I think most of the time he's just throwing stuff out there and hoping that one of those seeds will find a crack in your armor and it'll start to put a little root in and sprout a little thought in your mind. And once he gets you start thinking on that thought, he's got you. Brethren, that's why we have to be so careful today with technology. Technology, there's nothing wrong with technology. I use technology. But you have to be honest with me this evening. If you have a computer in your home, now some people don't have computers. But those that do have a computer, you have to be honest with me that there's times where you sat down getting ready to do something specific. Something catches your eye and click, 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 click. And before you know it, 2 hours is gone and you haven't even done the thing you sat down at the desk to do because you got distracted. It might not be sin. It might have just been a distraction. But 2 hours later, you're doing something that you didn't even mean to do when you sat down at that computer or on your phone. And before you know it, I heard a preacher this week, now whether it's true or not, I haven't had time to research and look at it, but he made a statement. He said, today's youth spends close to 12 to 13 hours in front of a device. That's half the day. You don't think that's that right here? If I can just plant a thought in their head, word, action, character, habit, destiny. So, see, these matters are serious with the Lord, because Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the scriptures, the Bible says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. The Bible wouldn't be telling us to do so if we didn't need to do it. How easy for it is for us to get distracted. How easy it is to get distracted from what matters. What does the Bible also say? Pray without ceasing. Now, brethren, I don't believe what that verse means is the whole day and 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, you're down on your knees praying. I don't think that's what that verse means. I believe that verse means that you're in a constant state of fellowship with the Lord. Even if you're at work, you could be driving a forklift, but still be thinking about heavenly things, thinking about your Savior. I used to, when I was a state trooper, and when I did this too, I used to have a drive an hour and a half one way each day to work. For 6 years, I did that at the juvenile center. You know what I would do? I would get me a Rolex thing of index cards, and I'd write verses on it, and I'd try to memorize as I'm riding up and down the road. Bible verses. Or I'd get me the Bible on my MP3, and I'd be going through books of the Bible on the hours of driving. That's what I think the Bible says, pray without ceasing, or interceding with the Lord, meditating upon the Lord consistently. But you know what the devil wants to do is he doesn't want you to be in that state. Because when you're in that state, usually when you're in that state, you have joy. There's a peace. There's a comfort. But you know what the flesh is telling you the whole time? Man, just turn on the talk radio for 3 seconds. Just give me a break from this Bible for a second. I don't know if any of you are honest. I'll be honest with you. That's how my flesh is. Turn on the sports radio for a moment. Can you please give me a break from the book of Romans? You're about to fall asleep here. That's the flesh and the spirit. Do you see? Just give me 2 minutes with whatever I like besides what you're trying to do for the Lord right now. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. It's work. It's work and it's a fight and it's a battle. Over to Ephesians chapter 6. Look at the Bible says here. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 17. Talking about the armor of God here. Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. The Bible says here, and take the helmet of salvation. You see that? Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. The helmet of salvation. What does that mean? I know I'm saved, but why would I have to put a helmet of salvation on my head? To keep all these arrows that are flying around saying that I'm going to have to go through the tribulation and not be delivered before the tribulation. You know what? Because the word salvation can mean this. The act of saving or the act of saving from persecution, from destruction, danger, or great calamity. Deliverance from enemies. Victory. Those are some definitions for salvation. Not just salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ for payment of my sins, but a salvation realizing that the Lord's going to deliver me from the destruction, danger, and calamity that's about to come on this earth. He is going to save me. He's going to provide a salvation from the destruction and wrath that is about to come upon this planet. The helmet of salvation. Because what does it say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You need to put that helmet on every day, realizing your redemption draweth nigh. Look unto the hills from whence cometh your help. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Look to the heavens. Be ready every day looking for his appearing. The helmet of salvation, that you will be delivered. And also this, the helmet of salvation represents, I believe, covering the mind for you to consistently realize that you have victory through Jesus Christ your Lord. You see, the devil will try to plant seeds in there to say you're defeated. There's no hope for you. You've gone too far. You've been out of church too long. You strayed too far in this sin. You'll never be able to get up again. You'll never be able to be where you used to be for the Lord. No, don't let those seeds in there, get them out and realize that the helmet of salvation shows you have victory through Jesus Christ. You just turn to Christ and Christ will get you back to where you need to be. But the devil will put thoughts in your head saying you'll never get back. I don't know if you've ever experienced, I've experienced it a lot. It's been a 22-year roller coaster. You know why it's so important? I don't know who all is listening on the live stream and all that. You know why it's so important to raise children the correct and biblical way? It's so that they have character. I wish I'd have had my butt. Excuse me for rude words, but I wish I'd have got more spankings. I wish my dad and mama would have whooped me even more to teach me character. Character. I wish I would have learned better self-mastery. That's why you train up a child so that they, when they get older, they can control themselves and the thoughts that come in their mind. You see, we got a generation of kids today, the thought comes in their mind, and they do it. I'm getting pulled over by the police, pull out the gun and shoot them. Brother Sam was just telling me about something occurred out there in Missouri. This police officer got shot. Yeah, there's no guard no more. There's no more firewall. There's no more protection from the mind. A kid thinks something and he does it. There's no restraint. You see, when you train up a child in the ways of God, you're training and you're giving them restraint. You're giving them a governor. Until they get saved and have the Holy Spirit as a governor. Does that make sense? It all comes back to the thoughts. You get mad, you just can't haul off and hit somebody. You have to learn to have self-control. And you got a generation today that has no self-control. because the home's been broken up. There's no daddy. There's no mama. They're being raised by the school system. No self. You just do what you feel like you should do, honey. Okay. We're reaping what we're sowing. Taking the helmet of salvation, realizing that you have, brethren, we are more than conquerors. But how many Christians today are living in a consistent state of defeat? They're always defeated. They're always down. They're always out. The Lord did not set it up that way. We have do you understand? We have victory in Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, I don't feel that way. What are you spending the most of your time with? Again, it comes back to what are you putting into your mind? If you are consistently putting into your mind the things and ways of this world, you will stay in that state. But if you choose to get rid of it and get away from it and spend your time around the things of God, I think you'll start to see some victory. All right? So, the helmet of salvation. Keep always in mind and remember that there is hope in our salvation. The Lord will deliver us. Take your Bible, look at Psalm 140, verse 7. Psalm 140, and look at verse number 7. Psalm 140 and verse number 7. Psalm 140, verse number 7. The Bible says here, it says, O God the Lord, the strength of my salvation, thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. That goes hand in hand with Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. O God the Lord, that the strength of my salvation. Who's your strength this evening? Not you. If you're going to try to do it in your own strength, you will be quickly defeated by the enemy. He knows how to, look, he knows how to push each one of our buttons. He knows how to get in each one of our heads. He's a master of it. He's been studying humanity for 6,000 years. Now, I don't believe he can read your thoughts, but I believe he can read your body motions. I believe he can read I believe he can read just how you move your body. Look, you got men and women out there that study humans and how they move and just their body movements that can tell whether they're lying or not. My wife showed me a panel. There's a panel of four guys and they watch individuals and they all had specialties in interviewing people as like detectives and body language and figuring things out. And it is amazing what they can pick out just from watching a video of somebody being interrogated by the police. They're like, yeah, he's lying. Look, he did this right here. Yep, he did that right there. That's showing he's lying. He's not telling the truth. So if a man can figure those things out, what can the devil figure out about us? He's a master of reading human beings. So the Lord says, Oh God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, who's covered your head? He says here, thou hast covered my head in what? The day of battle. I want to ask this question to you this evening. Are you in a fight? That's a serious question. I'm going to ask it Sunday morning, Lord willing. I'm going to ask it to the whole church. Are you in a fight? That's a serious question. Brethren, understand, 1,000 years is as one day, and one day is as 1,000 years. We're going to read that there coming up in 2 Peter chapter 3. And I've had this thing confirmed to me the last couple weeks with some pastors and preachers that I try to listen to. And it seems like across this country, there's a common theme with some of these preachers of what we do now is preparing for us what we're going to do over there. You see, a lot of Christians just think, well, we'll just get home to heaven and I'll see Aunt Susie and Uncle Bob and we'll hug each other. No, no, brethren, that's not what it's about. No. Look, if I got an Aunt Susie up there, fine. But when I get to heaven, I don't want to see Aunt Susie. Sorry. My mom and daddy over there, I don't want to see my mommy and daddy first. I want to see Jesus. You understand? I want to see the one who died for me. I want to see God manifest in the flesh. I want to take the hands of those, and I want us to go and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You see, we have a misconstrued thought in our mind of we put more focus, I believe, sometimes on physical things rather than on Him. It's all about Jesus. It is all about Jesus. What did Jesus say when His mother and brethren came to Him on the outside? Did He go out to them? No. He said, you see everybody here? This is my brother, this is my sister, this is my mother right here. Go out to them. Brethren, it's all about Jesus. And when you start to make it all about Jesus, you'll start seeing some victory. But if it's all about you and how you view things and what you think and what you feel and how you want things done, you're going to stay in a constant state of defeat here. And hopefully it doesn't work from here down to here and then out to where you're out of the race. That's why I asked the question, are you in the fight? See, I desire as a church, whether big or small, for members in the church to just please just be in the fight. I'll ask you a favor, and I've asked it before. Lord willing, tomorrow, I know it's cold out, but this is the... Now, I'm not saying this to everybody. I'm just saying this to me. So I say, well, preacher's saying this to me. I ain't saying it to you. I'm saying it to Chris Welt. Last week, I went out there and I held some signs out there, and let me tell you, it was cold. It's cold. But you know what the Lord put in my head? I'm not talking... Look, this is not to make anybody feel bad. That's not my intention. This is for me. The Lord said, Chris... I said, you remember those times you used to watch all those football games of those guys there in Green Bay? And they'd stand out there for 3 hours watching guys run around with a leather ball with no shirt on? Yes, Lord. I counted it an honor. I said, Lord, thank you, I'm cold. Thank you. Lord, I'm doing this for you. Just deal with somebody's soul. Now, that's not for everybody. I said, that's why I prefaced it with a little asterisk before, and that was for me. So you say, well, what? So if the Lord, just pray for me then. If you can't go out there and be with me, I'm going to try to go, Lord willing, tomorrow at 3:30. I'm going to try to be out there at 3. If you can't go or you don't feel like the Lord is wanting you to go, that's fine. That's fine. That's between you and God. But then I will ask you then, if you could just please pray for me and the scriptures that individuals read that God would deal with their soul about eternity. Brethren, we've got at least 4 or 5 people that I've been dealing with because of that ministry right now. There's a woman, and please pray for her. I'm going to see her Saturday again. Been talking with her for months now. Please pray for her. She's got a lot going on. I ask you to pray for her. She wants to try to get off the church, but I think the enemy's battling her, and she's just struggling with this thing. She's going through a lot of things. Pray for Tyrone. He's got a lot going on there too. Stephanie, please pray for Stephanie, the young gay girl that came out of a couple. Please pray for Stephanie. Pray for Rebecca that they were out here. Brethren, listen, what I'm saying is, are you in the fight? Look, could you take tomorrow, if you're free tomorrow and you can't go out and you're not doing anything, if you could just pray from like 3:30 to 4:15, if I make it that long, depending on how cold it is, just pray for that time frame that God would just deal with souls in this community. Brethren, look, I don't think, there's some things going on. I don't think the devil likes the way this church is going. I don't think the devil likes this church is here. There's some wickedness in Catasauqua. There's some wickedness in Pennsylvania that you don't feel in other states. I don't know why I'm going down this rabbit trail, but I'm going to tell you. Look, when you cross over, I believe it's Lake Pontchartrain. I ain't saying it right. I believe it's from Mississippi into Louisiana, and you start heading into New Orleans. I've been down there before. You can feel it when you cross over from Mississippi and you cross in and start heading to New Orleans, you can feel spiritual oppression. When I was in the Dominican Republic and I was at the border crossing between Haiti and the Dominican Republic, Dominican Republic's a poor nation, it's a third world country. But when you crossed over into that other country of Haiti, you can immediately feel, if you're a Christian, you could feel the spiritual oppression. And there's places in Pennsylvania you go into and you can feel the spiritual oppression, because unlike some other states, not saying that it's not in every state, but this state here has got a lot of witchcraft in it. A lot of witchcraft. Look, I grew up here too. Used to see cut off German shepherd heads some places up and some farms upstate because of the sacrifices. Oh yeah, hung up on all those hex signs on those barns. That's satanic. That ain't of God. Those stars, the 5-point stars. Look, I've been in some people's houses from the church and they don't even realize they got satanic images in their homes. Look, you got a 5-point star. That's a pentagram. That's satanic. Look, I came home one time, brought up there in Broadsville, came home, my home, went downstairs in the basement. I'm telling you, it had to be 8 foot long, wide, perfect circle pentagram on the basement floor. Wasn't there when we left for church. Brad, when I come in here and preach and talk about things and sometimes get vehement about some things, I live through some things. And I'm not saying that to lift myself up, but there's witchcraft. And there's Wiccans out there. There's sacrifices going on in these areas. I wouldn't even be surprised if human sacrifices going on in these areas. Yeah. So, brethren, do you see what we're up against? Do you see what the church is up against? Do you see what Ray Street Baptist Church is up against? Do you see who wants to knock each one of you out of the race? Why? Because you know what? Each one of you represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Each one of you can be a light, and he wants to destroy that light from this area. He wants to keep everybody in this area in bondage to the devil. Do you see? It is not a matter of, I just come to church and then I go home. That is not it. And if you live that way, there will be no victory. You have to realize today, you have to gird up the loins of your mind, and you have to realize you are on a real spiritual battlefield, and you have a real enemy that really hates you. And he would like nothing better than to destroy you both physically and spiritually. These are serious matters facing the church today. Gird up the loins of your mind. Realize that you have to put on the armor of God every day that you wake up so that you don't walk out that door and be an ineffectual soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, I got to do the same thing. Same battles, brethren. I'm not just preaching you, I'm preaching me. This is, Lester Roloff used to say, it's not a recreation room. He used to have a song, and I used to forget it. Some preacher was singing. He said, this is a battlefield, brother. It's not a recreation room. We're not here to play ping pong or some pool. These are real battles with a real enemy. Bible says in Psalm 140, verse 7, O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. Now, I want to close with these two thoughts here. Take your Bible, look at John chapter 10, verse 10. John 10:10. Brethren, I'm going to tell you another thing out there that Christians ought to stay away from, and that's yoga. Look up what yoga is. All the positions of yoga are pagan. You know what? They have a terminology in the spiritual realm or in spirit. I'm not saying it right. Spiritism or however, of tuning in. Channeling spirits. Well, ain't it interesting that you have channels on a television and sometimes you try to tune in to a program. Some of those positions in yoga are not just merely for stretching, it's for tuning in to spirits, channeling spirits. It's not a matter, there's nothing wrong with stretching. Stretching's not the problem. It's when you start to do these things and start meditating and starting to release things. You don't ever release nothing. You don't ever let your mind you don't ever disengage your mind. When you disengage your mind, you then open yourselves up to things that are out there. You always stay in control of your thought life. You don't ever just release. Do you understand, brethren? And there's Christians out there that are caught up in yoga. And I'm not doing a study on yoga tonight. I could do a whole study on that. But if you want to look it up, it ain't nothing but paganism. And it attracts spirits. These things are serious. I'll give you another thing that's very serious. And some people want to clog my eye. You need to be careful with essential oils. I don't know why I'm going down this road tonight. These are not my notes. There's nothing wrong with something smelling good. But you start putting scents out there to control spirits and emotions, and you're crossing over into a spiritual realm which is not good. And there's a lot of Christians today that are caught up in these essential oils to try to do certain things. I'm talking about even like copper bracelets. And you need to be careful with some of this stuff, brethren, because you don't realize what you're opening yourselves up to. Pray about these things. There's nothing wrong. Look, Ellie's got lavender. There ain't nothing wrong with having lavender. But when you start using it to try to control emotions and feelings and try to bring a different spirit into the... No. No. You're opening yourselves up. You're opening yourself up to the realms in the spiritual realm. And the devil knows it. There, look, there's whole studies I could do right now on essential oils, on yoga, on all these... Look, this New Age mysticism is creeping into the churches. This New Age thought process, rather than what does the Bible say? What saith the Scriptures? Brethren, I have no clue why I went down that road. John 10:10. Look at John chapter 10, verse number 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. What has the devil come to do? The devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal? What is he trying to steal from you? Your time. Your time. Now, I know we all got to work in here. You have to work. I understand that. But I brought in a scale a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago. If you were to measure out your free time, what would be more? Are you spending more time in your Bible or more time with just pleasing the flesh? The devil wants to steal. He wants to steal your power with God. I'm almost done here this evening, but please understand this. There's power in prayer. There's power in... I believe in prayer. I believe in praying. And I believe praying is probably the hardest thing to do as a Christian. I'm talking about the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm talking about effectual, fervent prayer. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about getting in there and fighting through in a prayer. That's one I believe. I'm not saying it. I believe that is the hardest thing to do as a Christian, is to have an effectual, fervent prayer life. You want to talk about a fight and a battle? Just try to set aside a half hour just to get in there and really try to pray. You want to talk about the most ungodly thoughts coming in your mind? When you kneel down or however you pray, and all of a sudden you try to get in there, and all of a sudden your mind says, well, what? You got to pay this bill. Oh, you forgot to do that. Or you forgot to call this person. Or you forgot. Or you ain't got time right now because you need... Or you're too tired right now. Just take a little nap, and when you wake up, then you can pray. Why? Because there's power in it. Power. There is power in praying. And the devil knows that. He wants to steal it. He wants to kill it. And he wants to destroy it. Lastly, this evening, take your Bible, look at 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings chapter 18. Gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Ask the Lord, talk to the Lord, seek His, search the Scriptures. 2 Kings chapter 18 and look at verse 17. 2 Kings 18 verse 17. And the king of Assyria sent Tartan and Rabsaris and Rabshakeh and Lachish to King Hezekiah with a great host against Jerusalem. And they went up and came to Jerusalem. And when they were come up, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is in the highway of the fuller's field. And when they had called to the king, there came out to them Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder. And Rabshakeh said unto them, speak ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria. What confidence is this wherein thou trustest? Hold it right there now. You got Rabshakeh and you got his entourage coming here now to assault first the minds of the people who are trying to do what God would have them to do. And look at the very first question. He comes up and he calls for the king, and the king's representatives come out to meet him. And look what the first thing the enemy says to him. He says to him, "What confidence is this wherein thou trustest?" Brethren, I can guarantee you, when you start to set your face like a flint, when you start to set your mind to really try to start doing things for the Lord God, when you want to try to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, when you say, you know what, I'm going to trust the Lord with all my heart, I'm not going to lean to my own understanding, the enemy's going to come in and say, "What confidence is this wherein thou trustest?" Ain't nothing new. What is your confidence? Look what he goes on to say. Verse number 20. "Thou sayest, but they are but vain words." Thou sayest, but they're vain words. "I have counsel and strength for war, for the war. Now in whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me?" That's the enemy. That's the devil coming in you after you're saved saying, "How dare you rebel against me? I still got power over you. There, I still have some dominion over you. I still have some control over you." That's the lie of the enemy. You have victory through Jesus Christ. He has no more claim to you. You can walk in victory through Jesus Christ. But the devil's going to come in and he's going to plant a thought. "Well, maybe I didn't really repent. Maybe I really didn't turn to Jesus. Maybe His blood really doesn't cover all my sins. Maybe I really didn't get saved. Maybe. Rabshakeh comes to him and he says, "Look at your confidence. You're rebelling against me. I'm still got control over you." Verse 21. "Now behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, on which if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, unto all that trust on him. But if ye say unto me, 'We trust in the Lord our God,' is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away, and hath said to Judah and Jerusalem, 'Ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem'?" Do you see the thought he puts in their head? He says, okay, let's say you're not going to even trust in Egypt, but you come back with these words to me. Now, this is Rabshakeh talking, the enemy. He's talking and says, "Well, if you come back and tell me that, well, you're not trusting in Egypt, but you're trusting in God that He's going to deliver you. How can you trust in the God that's going to deliver you when Hezekiah took away the altars of God?" Hezekiah didn't take away the altars of God. He took away the altars of the idols and false gods. But you know what people are going to say about preachers? "Well, you're doing this and he ain't doing that right. And he didn't do this. And if he had love and if he did this and all." You know what he's doing? He's trying to get false altars out of your life. Do you understand? Hezekiah did a good thing for the children of Israel. He came in and started cleaning house, and the people thought, or the enemy's trying to put in there, that he's taken away the things of God when it had nothing to do with God. Do you not see? "Well, he's not doing this no more, and he's not doing this no more, and the preacher won't do that, and the preacher won't do this. Doesn't he know this is how you serve God?" That's exactly what they're trying to get in the minds of these people that are trying to serve God. They're trying to put in their, he's trying to put in their minds that Hezekiah is leading them astray from the true worship of God, when in reality, Hezekiah has gotten them back to the right way to worship God. Do you see, brethren, the tactics of the enemy? Verse number 23. "Now therefore, I pray thee, give pledges to my Lord, the king of Assyria, and I will deliver thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able on thy part to set riders upon them. How then wilt thou turn away the face of one captain?" Verse 24 here. "How then wilt thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? Am I now come up without the Lord?" Look what he says. He's saying he's an ambassador or doing duties for God. "Am I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it?" Look what he says. The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. This man is the enemy of God, and he's saying, God sent me. Brethren, you better be careful who you hang around. You better be careful who you hang around. Well, God sent me to do this. God's saying this to me. God's revealing this to me. You're a Rabshakeh. I'm telling you, brethren, you better be careful who whispers in your ears. Because it might just be the enemy of God. And here's a perfect example of it. Brethren, look, your thoughts, your mind. The devil wants to get into your mind. He wants to affect how you think, because then hopefully he gets to affect your actions and affects your words and it affects how you live and how you talk. And then he's got you and it becomes a habit. And eventually becomes your character. And then eventually it leads to your destiny. Look what it says next, verse 26. Then said Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and Shebna, and Joah, unto Rabshakeh, speak, I pray thee, and to thy servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it, and talk not with us in the Jews' language, in the ears of the people that are on the, look what it says, on the wall. Why are those people on the wall? To defend it. What are we to be defenders of? Defenders of the faith. You know what this enemy is trying to do? Get them distracted from what they're on the wall for, and that's to protect that city. And you know what these men of God here, God bless them, you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to reason with the enemy, brethren. I'm sorry for going long tonight, but please, these are important principles tonight. You know what the enemy's trying? The enemy will try to get you in a position where you start reasoning with him. You cannot reason with the enemy. Do not give him ground. Do not talk to him. Go back to the Bible. It says, the Bible says this, the Lord rebuke thee. Do not start to try to reason with an enemy. And that's exactly what they're trying to do here. And the enemy's going to play right into their hand. They ain't getting over on the enemy. What they did is they're like, well, please, you know, Rabshakeh, can you, look, I understand what you're wanting to talk to me, but can you please talk in this language here so that I can understand this language and so that these other people over here, they don't hear what you're trying to talk to us about. So basically, so you don't discourage the people with what you're saying. They try to reason with the enemy. You can't reason with an enemy of God. Can't reason with an enemy of God. Look what it says next, verse 27. Look at the enemy's response. This is a nice response in the Bible. But Rabshakeh said to them, hath my master sent me to thee, to thy master and to thee to speak these words? Hath he not sent me to the men which sit on the wall? And had eat their own dung and drink their own piss with you. Then Rabshakeh stood and cried. Oh, he says, you want me to talk in a different language? He starts to say it even louder. Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and spake, saying, hear the word of the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah. Don't listen to the preacher. He don't know what he's talking about. He's just a mean man. Look what it says next. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present. You wicked one, you wicked one. Just make an agreement with me and everything will work out just fine. Look what he says. Make an agreement with me by a present and come out to me. And then eat ye every man of his own vine and every one his own fig tree. And drink ye every one the waters of his cisterns until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive oil and honey, that ye may live and not die. I'll promise you all these things. Just make an agreement with me. Doesn't the devil do that today? Come on, let's just reason together. Let's just make an agreement and not just the devil, your own flesh. Just let me live. Just let me have a little bit of me time. Just let me, and everything will be good, and everything will be wonderful, and we'll have honey and olive oil, and we'll be able to drink clean water out of these. You little liar, you. You have no intentions but to bring these people into bondage. And the devil has no other intentions than to bring you into bondage. Verse 33, hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all the land out of the hand of the king of Syria? He goes on to say that Rabshakeh goes on to say there's nobody been delivered by my power or from my power. But look at verse 36. This is the key. This is the key. This is the key. Verse 36. But the people held their peace and answered him not a word. For the king's commandment was saying, answer him not. Keep your mouth shut. Just keep doing what you know you need to do as a Christian. Stay faithful to church. Stay faithful to prayer. Stay faithful to Lord Jesus Christ. Stay faithful to one another. And keep your mouth shut. And just keep your eye on that wall. As you're on that wall, just keep your eye out there for that enemy. You go into verse 19. Hezekiah rents his clothes. He covers himself. He goes and seeks wisdom and guidance from Isaiah. I'm not going to read it for the sake of time here. I've already gone over. But Hezekiah seeks guidance from a godly man, from Isaiah. And Isaiah says, y'all have done right. God's going to deliver you. And guess what? God delivered him. Brethren, these matters that I'm talking about tonight, I believe with all my heart that these are at the core of a Christian's life and walk. The ability to get victory in the mind. To be able to control the thoughts that come to mind. Listen, you can't control the thoughts that come in, but you can control what you do with them once they enter in. Charles Spurgeon, I believe, used to say, listen, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. And basically what Spurgeon was saying there is you can't help the thoughts that come in, but you can help what you do with them when they get in there. And we've read verses on there in Corinthians where you bring every thought into the captivity of the Lord Jesus Christ. As soon as it enters in, lest it end up becoming a destiny. These things are important. So important. So important. Because the devil wants to steal our power and he wants to steal the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, you're good. Dear God, you're so good. Lord, I pray, God, these things are easy to preach. Lord, these things are easy to say, dear God. It's now to try to implement them. And Lord, I pray you'd help me to implement what I preached and taught, dear God. And Lord, I pray you'd help every believer in here, dear God, that every day we would take the helmet of salvation. Lord, that we would put on our head, Lord, that we'd gird up the loins of our mind. Lord, that we'd be ready for the battle, and not just a physical battle, Lord, but the battles in the mind. Lord, help us to get the victory there. Lord, help us in the times that we fail or fall down. Lord, to look to you and stand back up and get back into the fight. Lord, help us in the times when we get discouraged, when we get despondent. Lord, help us to look to Jesus. Help us to look to our great captain. Help us, Lord, to stay faithful. Lord, help us not to quit. Dear God, help us to continually love you with all that we have and to be about your business till you call us home. And Lord, we'll give you the glory and honor and praise and all these things. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.